Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 181. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, Sean and Nate? Nate and Sean.
Embracing the suck.
Embracing the suck.
Yeah.
You know, I said
you're bringing some energy.
I am bringing some energy because I don't have a cold this week. I want to say real quick off of that, I said that life sucks. I didn't mean like life sucks. I meant that's what exactly I said.
You embrace the suck.
Life can suck. I just was medication, you know.
That's, I think it's a David Goggins thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a nice way of putting
right. Life does not suck. It just can suck.
It can suck.
So I apologize if I, life when people are listening going, wow.
Whoa.
You guys doing all right, though? How's your week been, Nate? I'm going to ask
doing
you.
Doing fantastic.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Fantastic is always nice. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Sean? Anyway, Nate, tell me. No,
life can be a vampire. It's a full moon, and I didn't tell you guys. I thought I'd save this for live just to see what your reaction was.
Uh-oh.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Harrison got in a car accident this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He, this is interesting. He's fine. Everybody's fine. Good. So he normally takes Claire and her friend Allie to school and his friend Logan, that they're in the neighborhood there. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did this morning. And so I'm pulling into Lebanon, almost to work. And Live 360 on my phone says, you might want to check on Harrison Lehman because his phone has come to an abrupt, like we noticed that his car or whatever came to an abrupt stop.
Right.
Maybe he had to brake abruptly. Maybe his phone fell on the floor or he could have been in a collision. And so as soon as that, I was like, and then Jenna goes, Harrison's been in an accident. And I was like, oh no. So I was like, okay, do I need to turn around? What's going on? She's like, I don't know. I'm heading right there. You know, like it's right around the corner. It was just around the, roundabout off of Hadley and then heading south towards high school. And there was a car that came to an abrupt stop. Don't know why. Still don't know why. And then our neighbor across the street, they have five kids, and then their youngest daughter, Gretchen, was in that middle. And she just got a car, got her license, all this stuff. And he basically annihilated her trunk. yeah. And so it is probably, it's still drivable, but it's probably totaled. And because his truck is pretty good size and it's got that heavy duty bumper on it.
Yeah.
And, but the lady in front didn't get hardly anything. So the weirdest thing is, and we don't know who the lady was. Jenna said she looked like she was maybe in her 30s or something. And she didn't really talk. Like Harrison and Gretchen, they went up to the door and said, hey, or wanted to ask her if she's okay. And, ask her why she stopped so abruptly. They didn't see, there's no animal, there's no reason, reason to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Harrison said he was 2.5 car lengths behind. And I said, it's a good thing you had enough space. And Gretchen said, no, he was not tailing me. Cause I was like, dude, were you like right on her butt?
Right.
And he said, no, he's like, I probably would have killed her if I would have been right on her butt. Or at least destroyed her car completely. And our neighbor, Mike Harper, I'll say his name. He goes, Harry, he's like, I was going to sleep in for another 2 hours before I had to get up and do my work. He works from home. And he's like, thanks a lot, And so he was real chill about it. He's like, I've rear-ended three people in my driving career. And he said, don't worry, this car has already been in 7 accidents. And it's like, so it's probably time for it to die. But anyway, so we had turned into insurance and all that good stuff. And police came and so on and so forth. But so everybody's fine. Girls and Logan got to school. And Harrison went home first. Jenna took him home. And he's like, okay, I'm ready. He wanted to go, but he did not want to drive. And I told him, I said, I think you need to give it a minute anyway with driving. And, but then tonight he was a little bit like, not sure if he wants to drive again. And it's like, dude, you're going to need to drive. I mean, it's okay. It was an accident. It's not something he did wrong or whatever, but I said, you just have to like carry it with you that, it's a big deal.
Everything's a learning.
Well, that's why I told him. And I said, you know, I told the girls at work because I was like, oh, Harrison, he's already kind of given Jen and I this, like, I'm not sure when I want to drive again. And I said, I'm going to have to pull out my 80s, 90s TV dad speech, you know, and like, you know, with the sappy music and whatever. So he said, he's like, no, Dad, I'll be fine. I'll be all right. But so anything, all's well that ends well. But anyway, so it's just kind of crazy. So
the beast is okay, right?
He's fine. Yeah, he it's got a couple, that bumper's got a couple.
Yeah, road armor type bumper.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple pieces of it are like coming off, but I don't know if you super glue it or what. I don't know what exactly. I'm sure there's some other kind of, I don't know what you put on there. We were, but other than that,
Well, I'm an expert with duct tape and super glue, so let me know. Anytime I can pick something. I can't do much with tools. But
I was thinking super glue, and I'm like, I don't know if super glue would hold that or not.
Let me know.
We're going to ask Nate.
I'll be right there, man.
We're going to have Nate look at it.
I'll be right there with the super glue and the duct tape. Man, I can get that sucker fixed in no time.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it's all right.
Yeah.
Let's see. You had a
learning experience.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Pay attention at all times.
What is today? Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. It is Wednesday.
I'm having a pretty good week.
Good. Oh, I was going to ask
without
you.
Getting in,
you how know, was your week?
My week was, my week so far, pretty decent. Got on, had a lengthy doctor's appointment yesterday. Haven't been to the doctor in 3.5 years.
Yeah.
It'll be 3.5 years in September, so next month. And so I've got to wait until December, although my wife told me that there's another place I can go sooner to get my like physical and blood work.
Mm-hmm.
But this was to go. Like, I hadn't been on my medication for a while and just talk about stuff, you know. And it was nice. It was nice. But I was there over three hours and had a good, yeah. So I'm on new medication. I'm trying it. Second day. And just hanging in there.
Awesome.
And then you were at a roundabout and some kid ran in the back of you.
The back of you.
Some idiot with a black truck. I was like, oh, layman. I just like, go ahead. I don't care.
Harry.
I was like, whatever. No, no, it's good. It's a good week so far. Straight for Friday. Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm glad everybody's having a good week so far. Hope the creepies are having a good week.
That's right.
Whenever they do listen to this, it could be a year from now. I don't know. You know what I mean? But when they listen to it, Nate, it's when they're listening to it. So
have a good
it
one.
It doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter when you're listening. Just listen.
We might all three be deceased when they listen to this now. Let's hope not. God, that is a downer.
It'll probably be me first.
It's a downer.
So, anyway.
It's a race.
Yeah. Sean, do you have a sponsor for this episode?
I absolutely do. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Sean, for that. And thank you, Creatured. No, what is it?
You need help with
cultured,
that.
Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Man, I cannot.
It's a wonderful product. I've used it for about 2 weeks now.
Just go ahead. How do you like that, Nate?
CCBD.
I like it. Yeah, CCBD.
Yeah, works good.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite? Like, did you buy just one?
I got the
whatever, scent.
Or no, I got two. They have like a bundle package or whatever, so you get like a, can't remember what kind of wood, rosewood maybe or sandalwood comb, beard comb.
Oh, okay.
And
Oh, he's like Chaz Michael Michaels.
Then
from,
you get two different
Blaze and Glory.
That's right.
So, yeah, I got Eternal Eclipse and the Nocturnal Nexus.
Whoa. Nice. So there you go, Creepy. So. See, we got, hey, you heard it from the man.
Didn't you accidentally think it was edible at first and you put it on your sandwich?
Oh, I'm sure it's edible. It's all natural.
This stuff tastes like crap.
Put on crackers.
Shea butter.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Jojoba.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Good, good.
Smells good.
Cultured.
Tastes better.
Beer bomb. Dude. Beer bomb. Bomb, 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 bomb. Good. Well, see there, I said we've got a real, you
can't
know,
say bomb on the plane.
No.
Bomb, 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 dang, dang. Sorry, man. That's Blue Moon.
Sorry, Creepies. We're really.
Hey, this was, the full moon that we just had was a blue moon, even though it didn't look
blue. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so Blue Moon.
I did not know that. Good.
And it's because I was just saying Blue Moon. Sorry.
Are you done?
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done for.
Hey, Manelli. No, that's,
I
that's
came
good
ready.
Stuff. Good stuff. Let's get right to the most important part of this episode and every episode.
First part of the announcements?
No. I actually see something different. It's the Todd's dad joke of the show. Oh, I want to tell you guys, I did turn my 2-week notice in at the gym.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't noticed.
my 2-week notice in at the gym?
In at the gym.
Okay, yeah.
Different week.
W-E-A-K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, 2-week notice. And,
2 week.
I'm
we'll
2 week
going.
That's funny.
Hold on. I think I hear a laughter. I think I hear.
No, I don't think so. I think not.
That's the dad joke of the show. I liked
it. A good one.
I liked it myself. One, yeah. It was a quick, caught you off guard.
It did catch me off guard. I was what in the world?
I know that. I can. Already, I can see and hear the creepies laughing.
I was confused. We haven't even downloaded for just a minute.
That's yeah, the idea of it.
I'm so confused, but that's my normal.
No, you said it. Oh, there's the dad joke. Tisk, so anyway, and that's what I wanted to accomplish. Is you're like, what the heck are you talking about? That's the dad joke. Now, Sean.
Yes?
First announcement, please.
What in the wild world of sports is going on here, right?
What in the wild world?
We come together every week, right, time together for the creepy, for the paranormal, for the fun, right? Frivolity, I haven't said that for a while. But the most important thing we can do is build a community of mental health. So we want you to get help out there or to make sure that anyone out there needing help gets help. So call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
Indeed.
So what you're saying is...
Indubitably.
Get help.
Go get you some. Help. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Good message.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's very important, you know. Mm-hmm. And, reach out to friends and family, anybody, because there's somebody that's going to be available to talk to you, you know, if you don't need professional help. But if you do need professional help, then, yeah, call the numbers we gave you. So, got to have some healthy creepies, right?
Is that like...
And us, too.
AT&T, reach out and touch someone.
Reach out and touch someone.
Reach out
Remember
and
that?
Touch someone.
I do. Song, whatever. Commercial.
I do.
Great. Thank you, Sean, for that. Mm-hmm. Gotta have our creepies healthy. Ooh, it's my turn. Special announcements. Got two right here. It says we have a Creeped Out and Haunted live show 2024. That's right. It's going to be at the Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. Scott and Corey Steenburgen are good buddies, good friends, own the store, and it's awesome. Nate hasn't been there yet, but he doesn't like the Steenburgens. It's going to be on Saturday, September 21st, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Arrival time is 5:15. And, of course, we want to mention our special guest speaker, friend of the show, paranormal investigator, and author, Austin Lawrence. What do you think about that?
The crowd goes wild.
Oh, yeah, and I'm excited to see what kind of shenanigans he's bringing.
Shenanigans.
Yeah,
well, he's bringing Lydia. Right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The
well, that's
shenanigans
yeah.
He's bringing.
Tickets are only $10, and then they can be pre-purchased. Or when you arrive the day of the show, many options to buy tickets. PayPal is at TWHedges312. Venmo is at Todd-Hedges-3. Or you can use my Cash App, which is $ToddWilliam12. And, of course, we'll accept good old cash. We sold our first two tickets last weekend.
Whoop. Excellent. Whoop.
How about that?
I like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Very, yeah. We're expecting probably a lot of at-the-door type purchases, I'm thinking.
You're thinking homeless.
Sorry. They're not that desperate. They might be hurting financially, but they're not hurting for entertainment like that.
How much is it to get in there? $10?
Yeah.
I don't need that much.
It's not that cold out here.
That's come on in for free. No, no, seriously, I don't want to.
Not that funny, right?
Anyway, come out and join us for a night of creepy fun. So, by the way, it's going to be, by the time the creepies listen to this, it's going to be less than 4 weeks away.
That's wild.
How about that? So, yeah, come out to see us in Austin. And even Scott and Corey are going to say a little bit. They're going to start the show off. Mm-hmm. They're going to talk about how they came about, getting the old Greenwood Happy Haunt store started. Yeah, that's right.
Pyrotechnics.
No, but they're going to talk about how they, you know, got the store started and all that. And it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. And then Mr. Austin and then us. So, and we still have to choose a topic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, plenty of time.
It'll come to us.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. And the last announcement we may be doing, and I'm going to at least be there. I know Nate said he has something going on.
Yeah, Sean, I got to put a roof on.
That's right. Something. Put a roof on. I know. I think Sean said you're going to come later.
I got to work, so then I'll be there after work.
But you guys were going to be at the said Greenwood Happy Haunts mm-hmm. store in Greenwood, Indiana for a Mako meet and greet. And it's for their fall festival from 11 to 5. So we'll get there around opening time. So come out and see us. We'll have some merch and try to boost some sales for the live show possibly. But hey, regardless, we'll have fun at the Greenwood Happy Haunts. So that is Saturday, September 7th, again, starting at 11 o'clock to 5 p.m. So come out and see it. I'll be there close to 11.
I'd love to be there.
God willing.
Nate, I don't believe
that. I'll be down in Kentucky putting a roof on.
I don't believe you. I want video proof.
Truth be told, I think I'd rather be here.
Oh, Nate, that's all right. That's all right.
I'll go down there and labor my life away.
I hear you. That's the story of Nate's life. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's it. All the announcements. So, mm-hmm. Sean.
Yes?
What are we going to talk about?
Well, this is your pick, and I'm going to try not to sing the song, but we're going to talk about Haunted Memphis.
Haunted Memphis.
And if you're interested, please check out our source links that we use for this topic. Don't owe me.
I erase that.
Don't owe me. I know.
I got you covered.
Hey, Nate had
me. You pretty much have it.
Nate highlighted it and handed it to me. I was like, thank you. Because I can't remember exactly how to say that. But
so Haunted Memphis.
Yeah.
Maybe do you have a little foundation on the city of Memphis? By
Blue Suede Shoes.
I do not, actually.
You don't have any foundation? Okay.
The home of Elvis.
It's a city in Tennessee. How about that?
That's right. Have we all been there?
No.
No, it's not Nashville. I've been through there, but I've never stopped.
I have actually been to Graceland when I was really, 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 really small. The only thing I remember is like the front of the house.
Oh, okay.
It's like one of those like very early, 3 years old, just blip of a memory.
Gotcha.
It's supposed to be fairly like the crime is kind of bad there, right?
Yeah, I've heard.
As I've heard.
Yep. Yeah. And it's the home of FedEx.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I've heard that. Yeah.
And it's like right across the river from Arkansas or Kansas.
Memphis mm-hmm. Barbecue.
They are famous for their barbecue.
Yeah.
I did hear the barbecue. Strip has good barbecues and mm-hmm. lots of good food, but it's and I don't want to dog on Memphis. So I don't even know if we have a listener in Memphis. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I just thought
that blue suede shoes.
But guess what? They have a lot of creepy places.
They do.
Oh yeah.
Well, this is what I was going to read originally.
Originally.
This is from an article. I love Memphis. Haunted: The Many Ghosts of Memphis and Where to Find Them. This starts this article, and I just thought it was pretty neat. The living aren't the only things you can find walking in Memphis. A bitter chill blasted through the balcony of the Orpheum, which we've covered, theater. It seemed to pass directly through me as an Opera Memphis cast rehearsed for an opening night just days away. Immediately, I bounded down the nearby stairwell in a sprint. At age 9, I had just experienced my first encounter with one of the most well-known ghosts of Memphis. 20 years later, I would watch an ashtray dance across an upstairs table at Ernestine and Hazel's, another paranormal encounter in a city filled with legends. With its deep, sometimes violent history, Memphis is where the echoes of past lives still linger. And while you're unlikely to see the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue, yes, it's because I want to sing that song, you have more than a fair chance of a brush with the other side at these haunted Memphis locations. It says, and then, of course, it has this list of all the different ghosts and sightings and blah, blah, blah mm-hmm. in Memphis. So.
Good. Nice. I like it for that.
You're most welcome.
I like that. You say Ernestine and Hazel, right?
Yeah. Are you going to start with that one?
I am going to start with that
Go
one.
Go for it.
How about this? So Ernestine and Hazel's has a reputation for being one of the most haunted buildings even in the United States, with its own haunted jukebox, a number of wandering ghosts, and customers even being touched. There's no doubt that this place has serious creepy vibes. That's right up our alley. The former Memphis brothel is most famous for its jukebox that randomly plays on its own. The occasional customer experiences the jukebox playing the sound they were in the process of requesting before they even put their money in. It's also been known to turn on randomly even when it's unplugged. Some even say it picks up on your conversation and plays something related. How about that?
I like it.
At good old Ernestine and Hazel's. There you go.
That's quite a name. It's a mouthful.
I've seen pictures of Ernestine Hazel's. It's really cool, by the way. Yeah.
I have not.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, you have to look it up.
I will. I'm fine. Be that way.
Yeah. Sean, Nate, what do you guys have?
Hey, you want to go next?
Sure. I have, I hope I say this right, the Sturrock Building. The eerie, looming presence of the Sturrock Building has pierced the downtown Memphis skyline since its abandonment more than three decades ago. You may be familiar with the building, but not its ghost stories. Skyscrapers' emptiness and obvious neglect aren't the only reasons the skyscraper sends a haunting vibe into the night sky. Shortly before the building was, they're saying, shuttered in the 1980s, a ghastly scene unfolded on its upper floors. There was an accused rapist that was locked on the 33rd floor by the building's security team. He smashed a window, climbed onto the ledge, and plummeted more than 100 feet to his death, landing on the roof of the 14th floor. For years later, workers at the Sturrock Building often reported the echoing sounds of a screaming man falling to his doom, along with flickering lights and the sounds of people working on unoccupied floors.
Wow.
Man, that's awful.
It is awful.
I got one question. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
No.
100-foot drop, huh?
Gosh.
I don't think you're going to make it.
It wasn't the fall that killed him. It was the sudden stop.
It was the sudden stop. It's what they say, Nate. That's why. I don't want to test it out. But yeah, I won the fall. Yeah. That was a good story. I like that. What was it called? The Sturrock? Sturrock?
Yeah. Sturrock
killed
him? Yeah, Sturrock.
Gotcha. Cool.
Sounds all right.
I like it. Sean.
Yes.
What do you have?
I am going to cover something that we covered before, but if you go back to our episode on it, you can learn even more than this, but this is a quick little thing on it. The Orpheum Theater. Home to the most famous ghosts in Memphis, the Orpheum Theater has occupied the corner of Beale and South Main since 1928. However, this gilded chapel of velvet and gold wasn't the only theater to stand on the site. The original Orpheum burned to the ground in 1921, and many say the aftermath of that tragedy still lingers inside today. The Orpheum is home to the ghost of a 12-year-old girl named Mary, who is said to have passed either in the fire or in a traffic accident outside of the theater or after falling from the balcony, one of those three. Legends are an inexact science. According to Orpheum rep Kristen Bennett, Mary has appeared to guests, cast, and crew members, even occasionally interacting with the sets. During a production of Annie, there's a scene where Daddy Warbucks gives Annie a giant dollhouse. Our prop took two crew members to move, and one night it disappeared. The crew looked everywhere for it until they finally found it, all the way in the mezzanine. Bennett says the Orpheum is home to at least six other spirits as well. One of the spirits of a jilted lover named Eleanor is the best known for sending piercing shivers of cold through guests. The theater hosts regular performances and offers occasional group tours.
Nice.
That's why we covered it, right?
Orpheum.
The Orpheum.
That was a good little story.
I like it.
Six ghosts or six other ones.
Six. It's been so long since we covered it. I kind of forgot about some of that stuff, but
yeah, I do remember that.
Coming back to me now.
I'm going to read about Mr. Elvis and Graceland.
Yes.
A little bit longer than what we've already stated, but it's going to be good, I think. So Elvis passed away in 1977 in the famed Graceland Mansion. But did his soul ever move on? There have been claims that the king's ghost is still wandering the hallways. We can't help but wonder ourselves if Graceland is haunted. Graceland is one of the most iconic places to visit if you're an Elvis fan, and was even named the most Instagrammable. Have you heard that word, Nate? Instagrammable attraction in Tennessee. Whether it's spooky season or the middle of summer, fans have long wondered if they might actually feel the spirit of the late singer on the grounds of his longtime home. It has been stated that guests of the Memphis Mansion get a spine-chilling feeling, there's my little grumble, throughout their bodies when they stand in the Graceland foyer, directly underneath the bathroom where Presley took his last breath. I'm not laughing because he's dead, but you know the story.
Took his last what?
Yeah. Well, he took his last breath while he took his last. But is that really enough evidence to suspect that the king is haunting the grounds of Graceland? What's been said about the haunted nature of Graceland. From Priscilla Presley herself, his ex-wife, two others have walked the mansion's halls. Will you actually have a supernatural experience if you decide to visit? It's not guaranteed, but it's also not out of the question. So, it says, allegedly, visitors have caught glimpses of Presley's face in glassed casings around the house, and have even felt his presence next to the closet of his famous jumpsuits. It's also rumored that you can hear his singing from the second floor of the mansion, which is kept private for the family and is not open to patrons at all. In fact, it's not just visitors. Excuse me. Priscilla Presley told The Guardian. She is quoted saying, his spirit is communicating to me. When I go to Graceland, my gosh, I can walk in that door and see him walking down the stairs. I can hear laughter, and I can hear the music playing in the music room. It's a very surreal feeling, but it's not scary. It's beautiful. The museum that inhabits Graceland is so convinced that the house is still hosting the spirit of Elvis that they have haunted mansion panels and after-hours exhibits where visitors can enjoy a tour of the mansion at dusk. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it says the Graceland website has a page dedicated to Elvis sightings where fans from all over the world submit their stories of coming into contact with the king. There are also numerous videos online that claim you can see Elvis's ghost walking in the trees just outside of Graceland. And if you ever find yourself in Memphis, Tennessee, you can take a haunted tour of the city. It says, want to guess where one of the stops on that tour is? You're right, Graceland.
Nice.
So
I love that.
Sweet. Yeah,
absolutely love that. That's probably my favorite out of all those.
Yeah, I'd agree. So very cool. Yep. I like to go there sometime.
All right. I got the Molly Fontaine Lounge.
Whoa.
Elaborate parties have been a staple of the Molly Fontaine Taylor House since at least the 1970s, when the building was rumored to be one of the first sets of penthouse photo shoots. Before the pandemic, the 135-year-old Victorian structure was a popular club, hosting DJ nights and burlesque shows. The home's original owner, Molly Woodruff, is rumored to make her presence known by turning off lights, moving objects around the bar. These days, the Molly Fontaine Lounge serves as a private event space.
Very cool.
So go see Molly.
Molly. What was the full name again? Molly who?
Hatchett? Woodford. No, Woodford. Or, yeah, Woodruff.
Woodruff. Molly yep. Woodruff.
It's close.
Yeah.
It's all close.
Molly Hatchett, whatever.
Molly Hatchett.
Yeah. I like it. Good job, Nate. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Sean?
I've got the Mallory Neely House. The view from the tower must have been incredible during the late 1850s. It is beautiful, by the way. When the Mallory Neely House was still new. It's easy to imagine vistas of a burgeoning downtown Memphis from the home's third story, where the disembodied sounds of a crying woman have been reported for decades. The towering villa at the heart of the Victorian village has been a museum since 1972, though it's currently closed for renovations. Of course it is. The home contains one of the best preserved collections of high Victorian decor and furnishings in the country, perhaps guided, it's said, by the spectral figure of an older woman with untamed white hair. Ooh, I like the untamed white hair at the top of the third floor staircase and a disembodied hand once spotted on its banister.
Bwah. On the banister, you say?
The banister.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that.
I was just confirming it. I like it.
Good stuff. I'm glad you like it, Mr. Obvious over there.
I didn't like it. I
hated it.
I didn't like it.
It's terrible. Boo.
Terrible. Awful. Cut his mic. Thank you, Sean, for that.
You're most welcome.
My next one is called the Lorraine Motel.
Ooh.
And they call it the hot tourist spot. They actually call it the hot tourist spot. The Lorraine Motel. This is where Martin Luther King Jr., you've heard of him, his assassination occurred. It's said to be haunted. How about that? But we aren't sure by whom. The motel has not been touched since the day of the assassination and is part of the National Civil Rights Museum. And the definition of not been touched means cigarette butts are still in the ashtray. Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Stopped in time.
Yeah. Kind of like the NES State Sanatorium when we were like, oh, yeah, look, right. There's like silverware and glass and a chest. Uh-huh. Yeah. Says cigarette butts are still in the ashtray. Bed sheets are still wrinkled and messy. And Dr. King's car is still in his parking spot. That is eerie.
That's wow. Weird.
That kind of gave me a little chills.
That's weird.
Many visitors say they get uncomfortable in the hotel, especially where Martin Luther King died. I can see that. Do you think it's Dr. King's ghost haunting visitors? That's kind of not
creepy.
Not cool.
But
it's
I'd
a terrible.
I'd like to
obviously
go.
A terrible incident happened in history. But man, to have cigarettes still in the ashtrays and bed sheets still wrinkled and all that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like the sanatorium. It's just stopped in
frozen in time. Yeah,
stopped,
that's it.
Grabbed their belongings and walked out.
And but what gave me chills is when they said that his car is still in the park. I don't know. Just thinking about it in the parking spot. Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
Chilling.
Chilling. That is a good word, Sean. Mm-hmm. How about that? Wow. So anyway, the what was that called? The Lorraine Motel. So, Nate, what do you got, buddy?
Play off of Molly Fontaine Lounge that I just did prior. The Woodruff Fontaine House.
Hmm.
The spectacle must have been immense that night when more than 2,000 guests flocked to the Woodruff Fontaine House. They, along with five governors, gathered to celebrate the completion of the first Mississippi River bridge between St. Louis and New Orleans. And while the home located directly across the street from the Molly Fontaine Lounge has had its share of illustrious evenings, from balls to weddings and after parties, it is equally shrouded in tragedy. It was on this home's second story where Molly Woodruff gave birth to a stillborn daughter and saw her first husband die from pneumonia contracted on an 1875 fishing trip. As in her namesake bar across the street, the spirit of Molly Woodruff is believed to linger in her childhood home, slamming doors, mysterious footsteps, disembodied voices, and the strong presence of death.
Oh.
Have all been reported at the Woodruff Fontaine House.
Jeez.
Most emanating from Molly's former quarters. Over the years, some visitors have also reported seeing a woman in an old-fashioned green dress pacing back and forth in the room. An unknown male ghost has also been reported in the home, often accompanied by an overpowering aroma of cigar smoke.
Of stank.
That was a great story, Nate. That was a good choice.
I'd rather go to this one than the
lounge. It is cool, yeah.
No kidding. That's a lot of tragedy, though.
Straight up stank.
Stillborn baby and her husband dying of pneumonia. And man.
These are good. Between Elvis and that.
That was a really good one, though, Nate. That's a good choice.
Martin Luther.
I don't know.
Yeah, that one's...
There's a lot to it.
Presence of death.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah.
I bet. Sounds like it, yeah.
Can I bring Ulysses S. Grant into all this?
Anybody Let but me. Ulysses.
No, not Ulysses. Ulysses?
Ulysses.
This is the...
I call him UG.
UG. He's not the OG. The Hunt Fallon Estate, buried treasure in American history, collide at the Hunt Fallon Estate, just east of the Bars and Blues Club of Beale Street. The home has an illustrious history, having once been the Civil War headquarters, the HQ, of Ulysses S. Grant and a one-time accommodation for four other U.S. presidents. In 1873, the Hunt family fled Memphis during a particularly rough round of yellow fever. Legend says the Hunts left a chest of gold to trusted servant Nathan Wilson to manage the estate's finances. However, Wilson soon contracted yellow fever and died, allegedly leaving a pair of muddy boots and a shovel beside his bed in the process. Wilson's spirit is whispered to appear at night during a full moon, ready to guide treasure hunters to the long-lost fortune buried somewhere below. The historic 1832 estate was once a bed and breakfast, as well as a popular event space, but was acquired by Union Row developers in 2020, who say all options are on the table for its future.
Hmm.
I like it.
I didn't like that. No.
You didn't like that at all. I hated it.
No, that's good. Yeah.
No, I liked it.
Man, I'm telling you what, that's why I picked this city, because it's got a lot.
It's good stuff.
Historic. And it's
a lot of roots.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I've got one here. Pontotoc Hotel. Pontotoc Hotel. I'm going to go with that. The Pontotoc Hotel was a moving and grooving. Ooh, you like that. Grooving place in the 1920s. I'd love to go back to the Roaring 20s, by the way. Today, the building is boarded up and assumed to be abandoned. But what most don't know is there's a family who actually lived in this so-called abandoned building, inhabiting the first floor. However, the second floor remains empty because they say the spirits do what they can to deny any renovations to keep the hotel the exact way it is. So the Davis family, who lived there on the first floor more than 30 years, say the spirits are very friendly, though. The story behind the hotel is one of a manager of the boarding home who was drunk one night and made lots of disturbance. Then residents woke up to the smell of burning from the basement, only to find out that the manager was burned to death inside the boiler. Creepy indeed. So the Pontotoc.
You're talking about the 20s, and my mom always said that my grandmother, her mom was a flapper. And my grandfather was a rounder. And I was like, what's a rounder? And she said it meant they got around. And I was like, that doesn't sound like something you want to...
Yeah,
like,
you know, you're right. I wouldn't really advertise that.
Exactly, right? A rounder and a flapper.
About somebody got around.
I know. I was like, no. What exactly are you talking about?
Rat has a song about that.
Round, get around.
Round and round.
One of my favorites.
Oh, that's old. Yeah. Comes around, goes around, baby.
I'll tell you why. All right. That was good. Yeah. Right, the Pontotoc Hotel. Nate. Yeah. I was like, whose turn is it? Okay.
I have the Marine Residence.
The Marine.
Yep.
Okay.
Phantom nurses, falling objects, and the rumored ghost of a maintenance worker are said to linger at the Marine Residence. A newly christened apartment complex, carefully crafted from the revitalized ruins of Memphis Historic Marine Hospital. The Hawking campus was largely constructed in the 1930s, but it's built on the tattered pages of history. The grounds were the site of Fort Pickering during the Civil War, and a focal point of the 1866 Memphis Massacre, in which 46 black residents, some recently discharged from the U.S. Army service at the fort, were killed by a white mob led by the city's police. The hospital built later on the site served boatmen who worked dangerous Mississippi River jobs. Local developer Lauren Cruz spent his childhood exploring the grounds and recently completed restoration of the structure, abandoned since the 1960s. Cruz repurposed much of the original features, creating apartments lined by operating room tiles, the former morgue into a living space, and the building's nuclear fallout shelter into a lobby. The hub of the site's paranormal activity, the 1884 Nurses' Quarters, now offers poolside views.
Oh, poolside view.
Awesome.
I know. Interesting.
So, yeah, I'm sure there is a lot going on there.
I guess so. Huh. I like that. Man, Nate's really pulling out the good ones.
I know. Why are you looking at me so severely?
I'm waiting for you to pull. No.
All right.
Just kidding.
I'm ready.
Yeah, good one, Nate. I like that.
I've got one on Jesus. No, I was kidding.
You saying
Jesus sighting?
No, Jesus performed in Memphis in 1971.
<That's right. laughs>
He went by his stage name, Jesus.
Well, our brothers to the south. It's like Talladega Nights. Or to our brothers at Jesus. What do you got, Sean?
I got Chickasaw Heritage Park. The remnants of an ancient civilization blend with echoes of the Civil War at Chickasaw Heritage Park. There, on the doorstep of the Marine residence, the apparitions of former soldiers are said to patrol grounds in the shadow of a pre-Columbian ceremonial mound that was used as ammunition depot and artillery position for both Union and Confederate armies during the war. Though local lore says the mounds here were the location of a Chickasaw village, officials at the C.H. Nash Museum at Kukulissa say little scientific research has been conducted on the site. The earthworks, they say, are the work of Chickasaw ancestors from the much older Mississippian culture. Their peaks were likely abandoned by the time Hernando de Soto made his way to the area in 1541 and could date back as far as a millennium.
Oh.
Ancient.
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 Ancient. Mm-hmm. I like it. Good one. Good.
Oh, you like that one?
I did like that one.
Okay.
Time. One for four. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm glad to have you back.
I bet you are. I bet you are.
Exclamation mark.
No, that's good. I have a little lengthy one here, mm-hmm. but it looks interesting. It's called Pink Lizzie and Clara story. Pink Lizzie
and
Clara.
Is that like Thin Lizzy?
No. I was wondering that too, but no. That's not Thin Lizzy, the group. In February of 1971, that was a good year, by the way. That was the year I was born.
Really boo. Solid, I'm sorry.
Solid, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. Boo. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 13-year-old Clara Robertson was practicing her piano lessons in one of the upper rooms in the Greek Revival school building of the Brinkley Female College. She was a bit shy, sometimes nervous, but intelligent. That day, as she lifted her gaze above the keys she played, an emaciated girl appeared before her. She wore a tattered strawberry-stained pink dress, rusty pink slippers, and mildewed stockings. Ooh. She seemed to be covered in a layer of slimy mold, and Clara could see right through her. Immediately, Clara screamed and ran to her fellow classmates, only to be met with disbelief and teasing. Days later, when the transparent girl reappeared, dripping with water splashing at her feet, she did so in front of Clara and a few other students. Needless to say, they were terrified and ran away, but Clara stayed behind long enough for the apparition to reveal herself to be Lizzie Davy, the girl who used to live on the school property that once belonged to her family, and that was before the current owners had obtained it, supposedly illegally. Lizzie told Clara of a jar buried under a tree stump in the schoolyard, which held treasures like gold coins, jewelry, and, most importantly, the papers that would show all the wrongs committed against Lizzie's family. Unless this jar was found, Lizzie promised she would never do good to or for anyone. Soon, news of the specter and the buried treasure spread throughout Memphis and the entire country. Some thought the whole thing was a hoax. Others drove into spiritualism, with mediums holding nightly seances around town, some of which Clara even attended to communicate with Lizzie. Bartenders began yelling, "Ghost cocktails, recipe unknown." Stores closed early. Parents withdrew their frightened daughters from the Brinkley Female College, which closed later that year due to the sensational story. Men and women were even afraid to go out alone at night. Huh. Meanwhile, Clara's father, J.R. Robertson, a lawyer, hired men to start digging for that jar, which they soon found. Upon Lizzie's instructions, the moldy jar could not be opened for 60 days after its discovery. Until its opening, Robertson hid the jar at least 12 inches tall and wide in the safest place possible, the outhouse. He planned a public opening with an admission fee of $1, only that never happened. He was robbed at gunpoint by four men and forced to surrender the jar, which has since never been recovered. And lastly, after her encounters with Pink Lizzie, those close to Clara say she became a changed girl. She continued to practice spiritualism afterward, both privately and on stage, and she even allegedly received letters about her story with Pink Lizzie from President Grant and Queen Victoria. Hmm. At the age of 18, Clara married a much older widower whose first wife's ghost would return at night and kick her out of bed. She died of consumption at the age of 25.
Wow.
How about that? Tuberculosis.
Was yikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that story? That was something.
What do you think about them apples? Is that
yeah. Pink Lizzie and Clara.
I like that.
That was a good one. Creepy. Sad. Another sad story. But yeah.
Going to order that next time I'm at a bar.
Yeah. I'll take a Pink Lizzie and Clara. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's some tragic stories.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Nate?
Ashlar Hall, a.k.a. Prince Mongo's Castle. If you have time, look this up. It looks like a castle. but in an odd way, a house.
Okay.
Fashion models once strolled a submarine runway built into the pool of Ashlar Hall. There, surrounded by thousands of people plucking beer kegs out of the imported sand dunes, they were welcome guests, or party guests, of the hall's former owner, Robert Prince Mongo Hodges. The 1990s parties regularly thrown at Prince Mongo's castle were legendary, but Mongo says the living weren't the only dancing guests at his acclaimed Midtown headquarters on Central Avenue. "We had a lot of ghosts at the castle," Mongo told I Love Memphis blog. "Usually, one would ask me if I felt like playing some music for them to dance to. So I would say, sure. I knew they liked waltzes, and I would put the music on for them. It was just incredible. They would wear lace and float around. Oh. They all came out. Sometimes I would see 100 of them gathered around, dancing, having fun and smiling." Hmm. Mongo believes some of the spirits of Ashlar Hall are former servants of its original owners, the Snowden family, who constructed the stone fortress in 1896. Today, the Victorian Gothic building is undergoing renovation by a new owner who acquired it in a 2016 tax sale.
Hmm. That's really cool.
Mongo.
He's the one that punched the horse in Blazing Saddles.
Yes, he is.
He did.
Mongo. I hope he's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, though.
Because he seems to be a pretty interesting character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I like that story.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Nate. I like it. I like it a lot.
You like mine?
Well, I haven't heard it yet.
I was going to say, really I want to know. I want to know before I say it.
No, go ahead.
It's the Voodoo Village.
Oh, you had me at Voodoo.
Ooh. Most Memphians.
Not the Voodoo Lounge. I saw the Rolling Stones Voodoo Lounge in 1994, by the way, at the RC. It was and still the Hoosier Dome. Yeah,
oh, nice.
All right, go ahead.
Most Memphians. Are you finished? Most Memphians know Voodoo Village, inhabited by people who practice African Voodoo, Native American spiritualism, and even Freemasonic rituals. This village is the heart of Memphis Voodoo culture. There are many rumors of weird things happening in this neighborhood, and some are linked to voodoo rituals, and some are even supposedly paranormal. Although there is little to no evidence, of course, right? Because cameras aren't allowed, those who have visited can tell you this place is pretty creepy.
Mm.
You can't take a camera here. That sucks.
That's terrible.
It's ridiculous.
Nonsense. What kind of place is that?
That's it. We're not going to Memphis. No.
Nope.
We're still going.
Take it off the list.
Still going.
Oh, good. Excellent. I got a couple more. I don't know what about you guys, but they have a ton of places. I'm still looking at tons of locations. This is a little short but sweet. Court Square. Court Square, located at 62 North Main Street and home to the magnificent Hebe Fountain. Might not be an obvious contender on the list, but nonetheless, it is home to the ghost of a young boy. Oh, here we go. Court Square was littered with people enjoying a late August afternoon in 1884. Claude Pugh, he was a 10-year-old newsboy. He was playing in the Hebe Fountain with a toy boat. The fountain was deep at the time, reportedly over 6 feet deep.
Wow.
And it had sloped sides. When you know, Pugh fell in, even though the park was crowded. No one rushed to save him. After several minutes of struggling, he drowned and fell to the bottom of the fountain. It was only after he had sunk to the bottom that a fireman arrived to pull him out, but it was too late. Pugh reportedly will interact with young children, sometimes even showing himself to them. Local paranormal investigators have also reported that Pugh's ghost is more active when children are around. So there you go, the Court Square. How about that?
Like that one.
Yeah. Another tragic story.
I don't like that one.
Pugh. No, I didn't think you did.
Going to be opposite.
You know what?
Over
it doesn't here. Like you either.
All right.
That one stinks. Yes. Pew.
Pew. Ooh.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew. Nate?
Yes.
Do you have another story?
I do. The Metal Museum.
Mm. Nice.
Mm.
The National Ornamental Metal Museum served as a marine hospital. I'm seeing a common theme with a lot of these places.
Yeah.
In the 1800s. Afterwards, it served as a Civil War hospital and as well as sleeping quarters for nurses, doctors, and soldiers. One of the buildings even had a morgue and a body chute to the basement.
That's awesome.
Which is one of the most haunted places on the property. After the building was renovated in 1979, it seems to have stirred up the spirits. Now visitors say they can hear voices of the medical staff and Marines and feel like they are constantly being watched.
That would be a creepy feeling to constantly have that feeling. I like it. I was going to choose that, by the way.
Were you really?
No, that's good. That's fine. It's a good story. It's a good location.
It is. Stole it fair and square.
That's a crap ton of... Man, this is starting to be like...
a two-parter?
Yeah, it could have been a three-parter. No, Savannah, man. Mm-hmm. Lots of places.
Yeah, there are a lot of different places.
Yep, pretty much. So, Sean, how about you do your last one, and I'll round it out.
Well, this one's funny because I couldn't find this.
No, we don't do funny.
Oh, this is hilarious. Okay. Actually, it's really scary.
Oh, good.
But this is a place called Overton Park.
Okay.
It's really pretty. There was a really good video about it, and it's the woman in blue.
Oh boy.
So there is, and I don't remember exactly what time period this was, but it was sometime in the 1900s. And there was supposedly a woman who was raped and thrown into this like pond, lake area, you know, and in this park. And her ghost still like is lurking around, and people see this woman in a blue dress. And but then they said that it may not have been a woman who was raped. It could have been the other story that people tell that's supposed to be folklore about this area. And what explains the woman in blue is that a husband was cheating on his wife and was caught by her, and he killed her and threw her in this lake. And so she had a blue dress on. And so they said that whatever this woman is, she's looking for retribution or trying to figure out what exactly happened or whatever.
Right.
So she's forever eternally walking around this Overton Park, trying to escape her tormentor or killer or whatever.
Right. Is that another
sad? Either way.
Either way.
I knew you guys would like that one.
Lady in blue.
Yeah. Lady in blue.
Hmm.
She's blue because she was drowned.
She didn't have blue suede shoes, though, did she?
She might have. See, that's what I wasn't going to go there, but you did.
I don't know why.
Oh, well.
Good one. And how about the Grawmeyer's Piano Bar, if I'm saying that right? The Grawmeyer's. Graw Meyer.
Sounds right.
You gotta say it like Dr. Phil.
Grawmeyer. Piano bar. At first glance, Grawmeyer's Piano Bar seems like an upmarket and classy piano bar. However, it has a dark side thanks to the level of paranormal activity that is present there. The majority of the staff say that they have seen all manner of strange occurrences, including glasses being knocked off tables by unseen hands, and the piano playing by itself when the bar is closed. Now, you don't say. Some believe that the haunting is linked to the death of the original owner of the piano that sits in the bar. Doesn't give a name. I guess Grawmeyer. She was murdered in a home invasion, and there are still bloodstains on the piano.
Ooh, wow.
Yikes. This seems as good a reason as any for her spirit to now be bound to the Grawmeyer's Piano Bar.
I would say so.
Piano.
DNA and piano. All.
Yeah. I know. I like they have me at bloodstains on the piano. Yeah. Grawmeyer's Piano Bar. There you go. Haunted Memphis.
I
plenty
like this.
Plenty of stories.
We need
there.
To go do a field trip.
Oh, gosh. We could. It's not that far.
Can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
Let's see. Where is Memphis compared? I've seen it before on the map, and I can't remember.
Not too far.
Because we've been to like Knoxville.
Nashville.
And, you know, plenty of other.
You go get to Nashville.
Been to Nashville.
And then go south and west.
Yes.
Of Nashville.
That's right. Because it is close to
Stop Arkansas. Before you hit Arkansas.
Yep. That's right.
Don't go over the river.
That's right.
Although right over the river, though, is that.
Through the woods.
In Arkansas is the largest pyramid in, America, at least, anyway. The Bass Pro Shop, it's a big pyramid.
Mm.
You've ever seen it before? We drove by it, and I was like, that is cool. We didn't stop, though. I wish we would have.
So the men and women's basketball team, they built that in the 90s or maybe late mid 80s, the pyramid where they play basketball. And so I wonder if that's the same one they turned it into.
The Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, because they have a new arena and they haven't played in the pyramid. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's a real. It's all mirrored, or it was, at least. I don't know what they.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
where I would have liked to stop in it, though.
It's where the men and women's basketball team played. And they had concerts there, too. So there you go. Haunted Memphis. I think the Creepies enjoyed that. Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of that, I'm going to think, I'm a little off. Haunted. Jeez. I was going to say Haunted Dark Side. Middle-aged moment.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Is that what you're going to say, Nate? That's what you're going to say, right?
Sure.
See? Nate was good. He's batting 1,000 over there.
That's right.
I couldn't help myself, and I think we should put this at the end of the episode, too, anyway, is Mark Cohen, or Cohen, or whatever, however you say his name, Cohen, I don't know how you say it, walking in Memphis. Doesn't matter.
Oh, you don't want to do Memphis time?
I can, if you want to do it. You want me to do it? Put on my blue suede shoes, and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain. WC Handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first-class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis. I was walking with my feet 10 feet off of Beale. I always get that one. I'm glad I got that correct because it's such a quick line. And anyway, my 10 feet off Beale. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel the way I feel? Say, no, dang it. I knew I was going to screw this up. Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue, followed him up to the gates of Graceland. Then I watched him walk right through. Now, security, they did not see him. They just hovered around his tomb. But there's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. That might be my favorite line. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off of Beale. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel the way I feel? They've got catfish on the table. They've got gospel in the air. And Reverend Green, be glad to see you when you haven't got a prayer. But boy, you got a prayer in Memphis. Now, Muriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood. And they brought me down to see her. And they asked me if I would do a little number. And I sang with all my might. She said, tell me, are you a Christian child? And I said, ma'am, I am tonight. Walking in Memphis, I was walking my feet 10 feet off of Beale. Blah, 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 blah. So it says, put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring rain. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the pouring
rain.
Rain. Good job, rain. Nate. Yeah. Dang it, Nate.
Oh, nailed it.
It was your chance.
Hmm.
Good job. I'm sorry, not really. Bad job, Sean.
Yeah, Memphis Times by Jim Blossoms.
What he's saying is that was a better choice than what you chose, Sean. What's the name of it again? I've never heard that song, I don't think. What, have I?
Memphis Time?
You sing. You
by
sing
who?
Now. You sing now.
Gin Blossoms.
Yeah, I know.
Is that what we're going to play instead at the end?
Gin Blossoms, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Gin Blossoms. Did you know that lead singer died years ago? I just found that out like 2 years ago.
Oh, for real?
But off of Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry did, yeah. Did some, like a, not a mini, but a shorter story. Yeah, and he was talking about different deaths of rock stars, and I did not know that. Sad, I guess he was a big alcoholic and drug. Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might know the song, because I know all their popular songs. I just can't, the name of it doesn't ring a bell. So, no, yours is good too, Sean. Yours
like I don't always listen to the hits. It may not have been a hit.
Yeah.
obscurity is
I follow a SNL Instagram page, and what it is it's all the bands. So they'll have, like, whoever the host was, and then they'll introduce the band. And last week, Gin Blossoms, I'm like, oh, man, sounded good. I mean, back when they could, man, it was live, and it sounded really good. Anyway, good job, Sean.
You don't really mean that, do you?
I don't. Okay. It's actually checking. Terrible.
Just
we're
checking.
We're thinking about cutting that out of the
episodes. Yeah. Edit button.
Shout outs. Moving on from the middle age moment. Shout outs. Sean, you have any shout outs this week?
I do, because I know I felt like I went along and enough into the stuff with the wreck with Harrison. But I didn't mention also that that's not the first wreck of the week. Jenna actually had a wreck too.
Oh,
so
Jenna.
I'm just going to shout out to our family and the full moon, really.
You see where the.
Jenna hit a.
If you see the layman's on the road, just go the opposite way.
Just go the opposite way, right? I'm just waiting.
Get on the
right.
side.
It's only it's only Wednesday. And so it was, let's see, what's tonight? Wednesday. So Tuesday. So Jenna, she had accidentally called me in the middle of the afternoon, and I was working with patients, and so I didn't get to no, I guess it was Monday this happened. And so I was, I called her back. I'm like, you okay? And she's like, oh, I accidentally called you. I didn't need you. Well, a couple hours later, I was finishing up, and I was in a patient's room and needing to get documentation done, and she calls, and I said, hey, I'll call you back. I'm finishing up, you know, blah, blah. And she's like, I had an accident. So she was coming back from Claire's appointment. Her finger checkup appointment. And they're heading on 70, and she got basically pinned in a semi on one side, and she's in the slow lane, surprisingly. Oh, and there was a car lost a muffler. The car in front of her ran over the muffler.
Oh, no.
Knocked his tire out. She hit the muffler, knocked her tire out. That was her front passenger side. Busted the wheel, busted the rim. And so she's calling me like, what do I do?
Yeah,
and I
said,
let me call your record. We used to have AAA. Don't have AAA anymore. I couldn't call Nate quick enough. That's what I was going to do. And
Nate.
Yeah, exactly. And I told her, I said, I'm roughly 45 minutes away. I could get down there, but I don't think you want to sit down there for that long. So let me call your record. You know, I'll get somebody from Plainfield. And so I had that all set up. And she said, or she had actually Claire call me and say, hey, mom's the guy that has changed his tire, that his tire got, you know, screwed over too. He's changing ours out. And she said, if it's drivable, I'm just going to drive it. So I told her, just take it slow, be careful. And she could drive it. So he put it spare on, went to big old tire. They changed it to the back, so it was a little more balanced. And anyway, long story short is we're getting a new tire for the Chrysler van. Everybody's fine on that one too. Jenna, she thought I was going to be mad. And same thing was like Harrison. They're just things. I'm glad you guys are okay. Money's just money, whatever, you know. I mean, it is what it is, and it's going to happen. But yeah, it's been kind of a weird. Jenna, she told me, she's like, we got to get out of this hole. But so I'm shouting out to my family. Just God help us. Okay. Keep us in your prayers, right?
Good thoughts.
By this time, when this drops, everything will be fine again.
I'm worn out. Okay. Good shout out.
You want to come hang out with us for a while?
No, I don't want to drive with you. Nate, what about you? Shout outs this week?
I do. I'd like to shout out to the Midnight Red Eye Band.
Oh, who's that?
Me and Rachel and Sean and Jenna went and saw on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they killed it at Porch Fest in Carmel.
Awesome. Yep.
They're serial killers?
Killers. Yeah.
Killed everybody.
Trey is the lead singer of that band. And
you work with him.
Uh-huh. He's PT that I work
with. Are they it was just a cover band? Or do they do their own stuff?
They
or both?
Do have some of their own music, but they did all covers.
They haven't put anything out that I know of. I don't know if they've ever played anything. It's the first show I've ever been to.
And you work with them?
I work with Trey, yes. He's a PT.
Lead singer, yep.
Rachel and Jenna were like, he's a PT? You know, like, seriously? And I was like, yeah, he's a pretty darn good PT as well. But they did. I mean, honestly, I told him that. I'm like, you know, that was a real concert. Not that I wasn't expecting something good, but it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. No, they did an excellent job. I'd go see them again anytime.
Hmm. Yep. Well, what was the name of it again, the band?
Midnight Red Eye Band.
Midnight Red Eye Band.
A couple of the members are pilots. Apparently, that's where that part of that comes from.
Ah, the Red Eye. I wondered.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're playing September 7th at Ale Emporium and Fisher's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what time it starts, but, you know, anybody wants to go out there.
I'll be agreeing with Happy Hours. Oh, actually, they'll
that's that night. Yeah, yeah, I know. Shoot down from there up to there.
Is that your only shout out?
Yep, that's it.
Only shout out? My shout out is I don't have any.
No shout outs for you.
Shout out to myself for hanging in there. How about that?
There you go.
Doing what I need to do to help myself.
Hanging upside down by your toes.
Healthy. All right.
Toe nails.
Oof.
Yikes. Yeah.
Shout out to me. I'm finally getting off my lazy butt and doing what I need to do. Thank you guys for that. And
thank you.
Yeah. No. No. Thank. No.
No.
Thank,
no.
Seriously,
no.
Sean and Nate. Thank you guys. Thank
I mean
you.
It.
Second announcements, Sean?
I have them right here. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. Please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
How's our Rumble doing?
Not great. I don't know how. I think
that's kind of what I thought, but well, I thought I'd ask anyway.
I think there's got to be something. I don't think we're out there, though. Like, it shows us out there, but I think there's some other. I need to talk to my sister because she's all over Rumble.
Okay.
And my mom is too.
Like, oh, Jackie's on Rumble.
Yeah, they're both on Rumble. But, oh. But they don't even follow us on there, and I've told them about it. So I think it's like there's something we have to do to like push ourselves out there.
I don't think
it's very good.
Instagram and TikTok?
I don't think so. Yeah. But I need
that's kind of how people find stuff. Like you find paranormal or whatever you're talking about.
I don't think it's very good. I've just heard little rumblings about it.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah,
I don't get what
blah,
you're saying.
So we're not doing well, but I think it might be my fault.
We're not getting rumblings. We're getting grumblings.
I need to get us out there more.
Well, if we can hashtag it. Because okay. that's how you find, X and Instagram and TikTok work.
That's what, okay.
Because you have to hashtag, and that's how people, when they're searching through paranormal, haunted, then that's how you find stuff.
They're super savvy. So
if you don't, they're not going to find. But I don't know. I'm not on Rumble, so I don't know if that's how you do it.
Bumble.
Find out. Or look at other videos or whatever and see what they're doing, because if it's probably hashtags that we're missing.
So
that's good job, Sean.
Way to go,
Nate. You want to do the Rumble account? I'm kidding.
I'm no good at it.
No,
I barely post on Facebook.
I know, we never see a Nate Lau.
Oh, it's rare. It's very rare. It's out there though. It's like the Bigfoot of social media.
It's the white whale.
It's the white whale.
No, I was just curious. I really haven't asked.
You
for
shouldn't
a while.
Have asked. So, no, yeah. You don't want to know.
You were like, it's not good.
It's not good.
We have. Do we have any followers? No.
Just me. It's just me. It's all me.
Oh, that is glorious. That is.
Good. I got it figured out. I really do.
That's good. We can't even get Jackie.
No, and that's why I got there. I swear, because they're
Heather Boy. We can't get her to follow. What's going on around here?
It's crazy.
No, that's funny. Yeah, when you're like, well, my mom's on there. I'm like, cool.
She's not on there though.
Yeah, I have not even been. I don't know how it worked. I've not been on Rumble, so I know you said it's just videos, but. Okay, that's
it's different.
That's
cool.
We'll boost it up.
You think TikTok's the Wild Wild West? It's the Wild 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 West.
Northeast. Really? No.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
By Northwest.
Well, anyway, but yeah. It's my Friday Fright time this week, isn't it?
That is correct.
I'm about to look for one. Okay. Nate, guess what? You get to help us out here, buddy.
Man, this episode flippy, man, and that's a rat.
Oh,
he wants to a party at the county
jail. That's good. That's good, Nate.
There you go, man.
Thank you for that, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, as always, for listening to episode 181 and our discussion on Haunted Memphis. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We're middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy, man. Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. But we're getting ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face.